Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the basics of Christianity was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You don't change from the outside in. You don't change by quitting smoking and drinking and cussing and lying and stealing and changing all of these out things. And if you will change your actions, then somehow you become holy on the inside. Holiness happens the moment you get born again. You are created. Notice it says that you are created righteous and truly holy. You aren't becoming. You aren't becoming better. You were created instantly righteous and truly holy at the moment of salvation. And if you knew that, if you knew what happened to you and knew who you were in Christ, then holiness becomes a fruit and not a root of salvation. It's the byproduct of relationship with God, not the way to relationship to God. Holiness is like a child. Children are born after the parents have a relationship. Children don't come before relationship, they come after relationship. Holiness doesn't produce relationship with God. Holiness is a byproduct of relationship with God. And basically, the church is preaching just the opposite. Go out and start living holy and do this and do this and do this, and then God will accept you and you can have a relationship. No, it's through understanding that when you make Jesus your Lord, that God instantly in the Spirit creates you and you become a brand new person that never existed before, and you are righteous and holy. You're pure. And notice it says that you were created in righteousness and true holiness. And the very fact that it says that there is true holiness implies that there is false holiness. You know what false holiness is? Dressing a certain way, piling your hair up, refusing to wear makeup, refusing to put on jewelry, going by all of the religious standards that we have is false holiness. There are some people that are straight as a gun barrel and twice as empty. They have all of the religious things down. They can live. They look dead. They look morbid. They look sad. And they say, "Don't you want to be like me?" And they wonder why their churches aren't full. And they're just sad and they're miserable and there's no joy in their life and they can't praise God. But man, they got the outward stuff down. They look ugly. There are some denominations that refuse to allow women to wear makeup or comb their hair and do stuff. You know, the way I look at it is, if your barn needs painting, paint it. If it needs two coats, give it two coats. Amen. God's not concerned with your external. Now, He is ultimately, but it's the inside that you relate to God through. You are a new person on the inside. And once a person has relationship with God, it'll clean up the way they act. You know, we had a woman that came to our church, and this woman had just lived in a nudist colony for 3 years. Her and her husband, that she was married, and they had a little girl while they were in this nudist colony. And they had just left this nudist colony, and they were driving through town, and they ran out of gas in the city park. And so my church group was out in the city park having a picnic. And they were in this camper over there, and they came over begging for some food. And so we fed them. And anyway, over the next few days, we got the woman born again and her husband born again. It was really a miraculous thing. But she had lived in a nudist colony for 3 years. And so her standards were different than everybody else's standards. And she came to church wearing a, I don't know what you call them over here. We call them a halter top, just a top. Her midsection was showing. And she had shorts that were so short that when she sat down, she couldn't sit on them. And she was a very well-endowed woman. And she was so excited that she had been born again. She just loved God. And we would go to praising God. And It was a small church. We only had about 50 people, so we sat in a circle. So it was impossible to sit in front of her and not pay attention. So we would get to singing, and she would go to dancing, and it just left nothing to your imagination. It was something else. And all of the old Pentecostal people in our church were like, oh, they just couldn't stand it. And all of the guys were like this. So. And anyway, I had people coming to me and say, aren't you going to make that woman put on some clothes? And aren't you going to tell her that she's offensive to God? And I said, when we told her about Jesus and how much Jesus loved her, we didn't throw a sheet over her so that we could talk to her. I said, if Jesus accepted her while she was living that way, I'm not going to be the one to tell her that he doesn't love her now. I said, he sees her in the spirit. And I said, and I told some of these people, I said, you know what? He's much more pleased with the way she worships because her heart is right. I said, you may be wearing a dress and you might look better than she does, but her heart is just perfect. God loves her and he's accepting her worship. And we refused to tell that woman that the way she looked was unacceptable, even though it was a problem to us. And so, you know, it only took a few weeks, and she was in a Bible study that my wife was leading, and we were having prayer requests, and she just asked the women, she says, I have never owned a dress in my life. And she says, I would love to have a dress. Would everybody pray? We don't have enough money for me to buy a dress. Would you pray with me that God would give me a dress? By noon that day, she had a dozen dresses. And they were all up to her neck and all the way down to the floor. And she came to church just showing off her dress and praising God. And she never felt like God was mad at her because she was wearing short shorts and a halter top. You know what? If you'll just catch the fish, Jesus will clean them. You don't have to clean them before you catch them. If we would let people know that God loves them, God looks at a person's heart. I was in a meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, and there was a woman sitting right down here on the front row. And when I was talking, I thought about these same things. She was literally bouncing up and down in her chair. She couldn't sit still, and she was so excited she would bounce up and down. And after two or three services, I just asked her, I said, come up here. I want to hear your testimony. So she came up, and she grabbed the microphone. And she had just gotten born again like the week before. And she said, this is the best blankety blank. And she just started cussing. And she couldn't say more than two or three words with letting out some profanity. She said words that I'd never heard. I don't know what she was saying. I mean, she cussed to make a sailor blush. And people were just, they were sucking all of the air out of the building. They just couldn't believe this. And she'd look at me and she says, did I say something wrong? And I said, you didn't say a thing wrong. And I just let her stand up here and cuss and tell about how wonderful Jesus was and that this beat sex and it beat drugs. And she just was saying terrible things. And anyway, people came up to me afterwards and said, why didn't you stop her? And I said, you know what? God's looking at her heart. And I said, she hasn't changed her thinking yet, but I said, her heart is brand new. And she just has a rough way of expressing it. But I said, God is much more pleased with her testimony than the one you would have given. Talking about how wonderful you are, she was really praising God with profanity. And did you know, the next year I came back to that same church and this woman came up to me and she says, I am so sorry. She said, I had only been saved for 1 week and I didn't know that you Christians didn't talk like that. I thought everybody talked like that. And she apologized and I said, you know, it was okay. And God changed her and she didn't stay that way. But see, the scripture says in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man is always going to, well, that person stood up there and they didn't have a suit and tie on. And that person didn't say, glory to God. They They didn't have my religious form, and they didn't do this, and they didn't fold their hands right, and they didn't sprinkle with holy water, and they didn't christen. They wait until you're born again to baptize, and they don't. And we look on all of these external things. God is looking at your heart. And there are some of you that you, and I'm saying this in love. Phil hadn't told me anything. He doesn't even know most of you. So this isn't somebody who pressured me into this. But there are some of you who you just have it figured out about the external, and you look good and you can talk the game, but in your heart, it's not good. You're judgmental. You're bitter. There are some of you who don't like me, and you're judging all of these things because I'm not saying it the way that you've heard it said before, and you can't look at my heart. You can't hear with your heart. You filter everything through your religion. And I'm telling you, that's not the way that God made us to be. It's the spirit man that's changed. And it was created righteous and truly holy, not this false holiness based on the way you dress. And again, I think that there is an appropriate way to dress. And I think that there's an appropriate way to talk. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but they are the byproduct. They are the result of a relationship with God. And we have put so much emphasis on those things, we think you have to do all of these things to have a relationship with God. And this is how Satan condemns us, because regardless of how hard you try, and I tried better than most of you. I just turned 60. A few months ago, and I have never used a word of profanity in all of my 60 years. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never tasted coffee. It's true. I've never tasted coffee. Some of you, what are you saying about coffee? You can drink coffee. Bible says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. So you got a scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. I'm just saying, I've lived a holier life than most of you. I've studied the word more. I pray more. I do everything more than most people. But who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell?
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
These truths that I'm sharing today, I tell you, they need to be heard all over the world, and I'm doing what I can. You know, we now have the potential of reaching 2.2 billion people daily with this gospel truth broadcast. We're only on one time a day in most places. We need to be on multiple times per day for saturation. There's a lot more that could be done, but it just costs a lot of money. We now spend over $600,000, it's closer actually to $1 million a month on television and radio airtime, and we need to be expanding. So I ask you that if you've been blessed and if you want to help me get this truth out, please join with us and become a partner today.